Matthew 13. Well, a question to begin with. Why doesn't God stop Satan? Why doesn't God stop Satan? You know those times when you see evil in the world, or you see sickness or suffering or injustice, and you ask yourself, why does God let that happen? And keep letting it happen. Why does God allow evil in this world to continue? Why doesn't he stop it? Because we know he can. We know he's powerful too. We've seen him in the previous chapters of Matthew. We've seen Jesus stop the storms. We've seen him stop and cast out evil spirits and heal the lame and even raise the dead. Why doesn't he stop evil today? Why does God let it continue? Is that a question you've ever asked? Well, we come to Matthew 13, and Jesus tells the parable of the crop of wheat. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a great crop of wheat. The farmer sows the seed, it grows up nice and healthy, gets plenty of rain, there's a good harvest. Maybe the kingdom of God's like that productive day at work, when you get everything done. Do you know those sort of days? You've got all these chores around the house to do this week, and you get to the end of the week, and they're all complete. Maybe the kingdom of God is like that great day at the beach with just the perfect amount of sun, not too humid, not too hot. How often does that happen, though? That perfect week at work, that perfect week of jobs at home, is just ruined when someone else makes a mistake and leaves you with another 2 weeks of work to catch up on. Or you get to the beach finally and it starts to rain and the clouds come over. Everything is perfect and something comes along to ruin it. How often does that happen? You see, the world is good, the things we have in the world are good, and then along comes a world war. Along comes famine, along comes poverty, along comes corruption in governments, adultery, cancer, unemployment, earthquakes, tsunamis. The good world that God made suddenly doesn't seem so good, does it, when all those things start happening? And we can rightly say to that, this is the work of evil in our world. This is what sin and evil does to our world. We live in a world that is broken by sin. That wasn't the way it was meant to be. A world that Romans chapter 8 says is groaning as in the pains of childbirth. That's the creation we live in. We live in a world that's decaying, and we're waiting for that day when Jesus returns. Revelation 21 talks about a new heaven and a new earth, a place where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, the way it was meant to be, without evil ruining it. But why do we have to wait? Why is it that Satan is around every corner ruining life for us today? And that's the question we want to ask. Is Satan around every corner? Let me ask that question. Is Satan around every corner? Is he out to get us? Does he want to ruin our life? And the answer is yes. It's a very simple answer. Yes, of course he is. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 tells us that Satan is like a prowling lion, waiting to devour us. That's pretty significant language, isn't it? A roaring lion waiting to devour us. He's out to destroy us. He's out to pull us away from God, to undermine God's work. He attacks churches and marriages and governments and children. He incites racism and violence and hate. And yet he's there all the time. His main work is to keep humanity away from God. But, and it's a big but, as Matthew has already taught us, the answer is also that, while it may be yes, the answer is always that Jesus has all the power and authority. That's what the rest of Matthew has been telling us up to this point. Jesus has all the power and authority over nature, over sickness, over death, over sin, and over Satan himself. That really is the first thing the Gospel of Matthew wants to know and teach us that Satan is powerless against Jesus. Satan is powerless against Jesus. When our life is in the hands of Jesus, when your life is in the hands of Jesus, when my life is in the hands of Jesus, that means Satan is powerless against us. Although he might be out to get us, he cannot. Evil exists, Satan is out to get us, but if our life is in the hands of Jesus, his Holy Spirit is in you, is with you every day, and God is powerful over Satan. That's the first thing to know, but then the question is, then so what? So what? Let's have a look at the passage. Jesus tells the disciples about this wheat that he plants. He identifies himself as the one that's sowing the seed. He plants a crop of wheat, perfect wheat, good wheat, and then from the middle of nowhere, out of this wheat, this good wheat, come all these weeds. Weeds in this perfect field. Someone has got in there and planted all these weeds deliberately to upset the crop. And the servants, identified later as the disciples, say to Jesus, "Do you want us to pull up the weeds?" And Jesus says, "No. Leave the weeds there. Leave them until harvest time. Leave them until the last day." Why would he say that? Why would you want to leave weeds in a field of good wheat? Question is the same as that one, last one we just answered. Why does God allow evil to continue? Why not pull out the weeds now? We know he's powerful over Satan. Why leave them there? And Jesus says, because if you pull out the weeds, you might pull out some of the wheat. Leave them there till the last day because I don't want any wheat to be damaged or uprooted or pulled out. That's why it's left there. Jesus says evil will stay until the last day. It will not be removed until the last day. Why? Well, there are actually two reasons, and we're going to look at a bit more detail of this because he doesn't go into detail in this parable. He just says this is the way it is. And we can ask why, but we actually have to look at a couple of other passages to see that. The first reason is, I'm just going to look at two other verses. The first reason that Jesus says leave them to the last day is that God is patient. God is patient. Now, if you've got your Bibles there, you can open up to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, towards the end of the New Testament. Jesus, in this passage, Jesus is saying the weeds you pull out may look like weeds. Well, how do you know? When they grow up, you might find they're wheat. You're not exactly sure which was which. You're not sure when you pull out a weed if you've actually pulled out some wheat or if you accidentally pull out a wheat that's next to a weed. It's very finicky pulling out weeds, isn't it? The other day, I actually remembered I saw this plant and I was quite happy that it was wilting a bit, so I gave it a good water and looked after it. The next day my wife came along and said, "You know, that's a weed." I thought, wow, I just resurrected a weed. I was very, very pleased with myself. It's hard to tell sometimes. But 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 tells us a great reason why. God is patient. Listen to these words. Verse 9, "The Lord isn't slow about keeping his promises, as some people think he is. In fact, God is patient because he wants everyone to turn from sin and no one to be lost." That's God's desire. It's not that he's slow to keep his promise, as some people think. It's that he's waiting patiently for all the wheat to mature. What looks like a weed to us now, today, on the day of judgment, it may turn out to be wheat. God is patient. Every day we wait is his mercy. Not him being slow. He's waiting for more people to turn to him. And yes, it's hard for us as Christians while we wait for that day. We cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus." But at the same time, God is looking at compassion at the people of our world, knowing that some are yet to make that commitment to him. He's waiting. He's merciful. He's patient. He's waiting for the right time. He's waiting for your sister, for your father, for your grandchild, for your friend, for your neighbour. He's waiting for some of those to turn to him. Hopefully all of them. Because he doesn't want anyone to be lost. And so he'll wait as long as he possibly can. God will not weed yet because he's waiting. We don't see it, but some of those weeds are actually little stalks of wheat. God is patient. The second reason Jesus waits. Oh, there's the verse. There you go. I always put these things up and forget. The second reason Jesus tells us to wait is that God is our strength. God is our strength. And for this, I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here is Paul speaking about his experiences. As you know, Paul went through a great deal in his life. I think if you ever think you went through a lot, yeah, Paul's right there with you. He understands what it means to go through a lot. Have a listen to these verses from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10. I'll just skip down to verse 8 there. Three times I begged the Lord to make this suffering go away. Ever done that? Three times. But he replied, "My kindness is all you need. My power is strongest when you are weak. So if Christ keeps giving me his power, I will gladly brag about how weak I am," Paul says. "Yes, I am glad to be weak or insulted or mistreated or to have troubles and sufferings if it is for Christ. Because when I am weak, I am strong." When we suffer and we struggle, we feel weak. But in those times of weakness, God is able to show his strength. As he says there, God's power is strongest when we are weak. God's power is strongest when we are fully depending on him, when we have to depend on him. Sometimes circumstances need to arise that so that can happen. When we're surrounded by evil or sickness or suffering, when we're at our weakest, God is at his strongest. When Satan attacks, sometimes that is relentless too, isn't it? When we wonder where God is when all this is happening, he wants to assure us that he's there and that he's in control, and that that weakness, that sense of powerlessness that we feel, is also the time we're able to say, "God, I have no strength left. And I can do nothing else but completely trust in you and your strength." And that's where that's the point that God wants to bring us to sometimes, as difficult as the journey there might be. The weeds remain, but in our struggle with the weeds, the evil in the world, we can find strength in our faith and dependence on God. Doesn't matter, doesn't mean, however, that it's going to be easy. They're difficult words to hear, that God will allow evil to remain in our world in order to strengthen our faith and dependence on him. Doesn't make it easy to go through those struggles, but it does give us an understanding of the reason. If we hear those words, if we hear of God's patience and God's strength, then we can still ask that question, so what now? So what now? What's the end result? Let's have a look at what Jesus says about reaping the harvest. God is patient, God's our strength, but we still find ourselves asking the question occasionally, will there ever be justice? Will there ever be justice? When will it all end? When will God finally bring an end to Satan's attacks and bring us to an eternity in heaven? When's that going to happen? And the answer is, apart from the fact that nobody knows the time or hour, the answer is that God will bring one judgment day of final justice on all people. God will bring, at a time unknown to anyone except God himself, he will bring one judgment day, and that judgment day will be two things. It will be final and it will be inescapable. Final and inescapable. That one day. On that one day, we read in passages like 1 Thessalonians 4 that the dead, that those who have died and those who are living will be raised to meet Jesus for final judgment. The whole earth will be raised to stand before him. Past and present. All that are alive, all that have died will be raised. They stand before him on that one day. And that one day, he'll send his angels. Back to Matthew chapter 13, verse 39. The harvest is the end of the age. And the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom. On that final day, they're all grown up. It's very easy to see for the angels, for God himself, to see which are the weeds and which are the wheat. He knows, and we will know too. And they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the rising righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Two inescapable conclusions for Judgment Day. Burn or barn? Gathered to be burnt, gathered to be taken to that place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, taken to hell, or that day to be gathered into his barn, to his heaven. The weeds, those who have not trusted Jesus as Lord, face that eternity of hell, and those who have accepted Jesus will be gathered to him in heaven. No one will be excluded from that day. It's inescapable. Now, we're reminded of this again and again. I think we often lose this idea of the one judgment day, and I think it's important because it sits well with the rest of the Bible's theology of God's judgment and what's right and what we're waiting for. People don't die and then stand for judgment and then everyone's judged one day at a time. This is one day. All are raised, all stand before Jesus on that one day, and it will be laid bare for all to see. You will see everything happen. But have a look at a few other verses just to make the point really clear for us. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Men will have to give an account on the day of judgment. Acts 17:31. For he set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed, Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. No one knows that day or that hour. And Obadiah from the Old Testament, Obadiah verse 15, the day of the Lord is near for all nations. There is one inescapable day for all people and one judge, Jesus. And he will make two judgments, weeds or wheat, hell or heaven, simple as that. Why does God allow evil to continue? Why does he allow the weeds to remain? Because he's patient. He's waiting for those people you've been praying for. He's waiting. And because he knows that those struggles that we face are teaching us obedience, teaching us to depend on him and to depend on his strength and acknowledge him until that final day when we will all face judgment. God is patient. God is our strength. God will bring justice on that day.